talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show is about to help you question your career reality. And it's for you if you are or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. So you're going to have to listen every single week until we talk about your career. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the previous shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com, and you click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. This will take you directly, this will take you directly to the archive page, which you can view the list of past guests, and our shows are also very exciting. Our shows are available for download on iTunes, and we are under the podcast section, so you can download all the shows and listen to them right on your little iPhone or whatever the heck it is. I'm not the most technologically advanced. But I know is that all my friends have my show on their phone, so that's good. Wherever you can get it. Oh, I think we're also on Android too. Yeah. So, again, the shows are available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and you can download them right into your did I say this already? I'm losing my mind. I'm sitting here looking at my Christmas tree and all the gifts, and I'm just dying to rip them open because Albert has wrapped my packages, and now I can't focus on anything but wanting to rip the packages open. Okay, so let's finish this up. So, you go into iTunes under the podcast section, and you type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. And again, if you want to find out about future guests, then you would, of course, visit the official Question Reality website directly. And that is questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us. And you'll be able to see all of our guests. We're booked until April. And we had to stop because people just don't want to book that far in advance anymore. I tell you, I used to get people to book 6 months to a year in advance, but now they're like, you know what, let's wait closer because who knows, I could be a star and then I'm not going to come on your show because I'll be busy walking the red carpet, the traitors. So anyway, we're booked until April. Check out questionreality.us to see who we got. Now, we have a wonderful guest on the show today. I love this woman. She is, personally speaking, I think she's the most zesty, vivacious, brilliant, zippy, of course, intelligent, goes beyond. I mean, this woman, everything you can think that's positive, spiritual, just wonderful, Betty Jo Tucker is. And she is, she was on the show last year, and I think in March, if I'm not mistaken, I think March 21st, we'll check with Betty, but she's a film critic, she's an editor, she's a writer, and Betty Jo currently serves as editor lead critic for Real Talk Movie Reviews and writes film commentary for the Colorado Senior Beacon. She writes for News First Online, Real Movie News, The Romance Club, and the Omaha Family Newspapers. And during her incredible career as an entertainment journalist, Betty Jo has interviewed such movie television stars such as Susan Sarandon, Ian McKellen, Angelina Jolie, Aidan Quinn, Barry Boswick, Tony Shalhoub, Fred Willard, Aaron Eckhart, M. Night Shyamalan, Brendan Fraser, Rachel Griffiths, Hector Elizondo, Annette Bening, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And she belongs to the Online Film Critics Society, and she's a founding member of the San Diego Film Critics Society. She's also a published author of two books, Confessions of a Movie Addict, which I loved, and Susan Sarandon, A True Maverick. And both of these books receive rave reviews from film fans and also critics alike. Now, I, being a film fan and a little amateur critic, I can tell you that I just went crazy reading these books. She is so funny. This woman could have done stand-up comedy. She could have done so many things. She's doing so many things now, but the woman could have done about 15, 20 careers in her lifetime, one of them being a stand-up comic because she is so, so funny. So I want you to check out her website now while I tell you a little bit about some upcoming workshops that we have. But if you want to read a little bit about Betty, go to her website, BettyJoTucker.com, BettyJoTucker.com. Now, we're going to talk to Betty in a couple minutes, but I just want to tell you about some really great classes coming up. I had a lot of people email me this, excuse me, oh God, I'm telling you, I got a cold one day and then it's warm and it goes away and then it comes back and I'm starting to sound more and more like Demi Moore, you know, that raspy, huffy kind of voice, which I have no problem with. But once in a while you get a little phlegm in there and that kind of turns it into, you know, like possibly a crack whore. So, you know, we don't want to be sounding like we've been smoking marijuana for God's sakes, because we don't do that. But just, you know, kind of clear my throat a little bit. I hope it doesn't bother you. We'll move on. Now, we got some great in commercial classes coming up, and I had a lot of emails from people who said, oh, my friend listened to the show and told me about these great classes with this guy, Nick Anderson, and I want to take the class. Can you tell me about it? So I emailed them, but also I thought I would run these classes again since I got such tremendous response. So here they are again. All right. There is a great commercial intensive class with commercial casting director Scott Wissner at the Actors Creative Workshop, Sundays starting at 10 a.m. on January 16th, January 23rd, January 30th, and February 6th. And the cost is $225. And there's also an advanced invite class starting Saturdays at 1 p.m. on January the 8th, January the 15th, January 22nd, and January 29th. Same price, $225. However, for the advanced class, you have to be an advanced actor and you had to have taken a class with him in order for him to, of course, know that you are advanced. So now Mr. Wissner has over 25 years experience in casting and production. He's directed thousands of commercial casting sessions, and in this class you're going to learn the secrets to booking commercial work. So some of the things that you're going to learn in this class are what are you actually in control of in a commercial situation or an audition? Who really makes the decisions? A lot of people are confused about that. You're going to learn the difference between the client and the ad agency. Believe it or not, a lot of actors do not know the difference, and that's very sad, but you'll learn that. You're going to learn to explore the right approach and the wrong approach to slating. Some people know what slating is. I was surprised when I was auditioning and I said, okay, so could you slate? And they had no idea what I was talking about. Okay, so you will learn how to truly feel comfortable in front of the camera, the directors and the producers, because you know how hard that is. Sometimes you go into an audition, you think it's going to be one person or two people, you walk in, and there's Alan Ball. Oh, that was me. Okay, so there's 10 people, Alan Ball from 6 Feet Under, and you're going to panic. Even if you're an advanced actor, you're going to panic a little bit. So you'll learn how to deal with those nerves. And also, you want to really show your personality in an interview situation. You don't have really much time to do that. However, he's going to teach you how to do that in such a short amount of time without, you know, brown nosing. You don't want to get into the brown nosing situation, which a lot of actors tend to do because if they're new, they tend to be so nervous that they feel like they've got to overcompensate. So you'll learn how to handle that professionally. And you'll also take an in-depth look and commercial copy and learn how to stand out by bringing your uniqueness to the room. And you'll also learn how to deal with more than a one-person copy. And then the class will work through improv situations and how they apply to commercials. So what's great also about it is that you'll work on camera while reading cue cards, and usually you'll be using actual audition copy. So that's always great. And now to find out more about this class, you want to email to register and also for payment instructions to info@actorscreativeworkshop.com, actorscreativeworkshop.com. And the very last thing we want to tell you about is, now this is exciting. I actually am going to be taking this class because it is so important to know this. You can never take too many of the same classes if it's a good teacher. This guy, Nick Anderson, he has a comedy class starting soon, and it is going to be about the 6 triplets and 8 devices of comedy. And sitcoms are more popular than ever. We know that. There's just never been a better time to brush up on your comedy chops. So even if you consider yourself a dramatic actor, you really – it's really essential to take comedy classes because you just never know. And did you know that Charlie Sheen from 2.5 Men, and I said this last week, he got the largest deal in sitcom history. He's getting a reported $2 million per episode with a 2-year guarantee. So there you go. That's double what the cast of Friends got. So let's get aboard the sitcom train is what I'm saying. So if you want to email or sign up for the payment options, again, you want to go to info@actorscreativeworkshop.com. Now, a little bit about the coach. This guy, before opening his office, Nick worked with some of the top casting houses like Judy Lowery Johnson, who was casting for True Blood. You know, they won the 2008 Emmy for Outstanding Casting for a Drama Series. And Ugly Betty, which won the 2007 Emmy for Outstanding Casting for a Comedy Series. He's worked with David Waite Casting. They cast Yes, Dear, and My Name is Earl. And they won the 2006 Emmy in 2007, Arteos, which is a comedy thing, and then Tracy Lillianfield Casting, that cast for Will and Grace, Allison Jones Casting, The 40-Year Virgin, and just so many others. So this guy is attached with some pretty hot major stuff, so you want to get in on this class. And just real briefly about what this is, because people are saying, what's the 6 triplets and 8 devices, a comedy, what? Okay, so in this class, Nick will teach you why comedy comes in threes. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it does, but have you ever stopped to wonder why? So knowing why is what allows the actor to make the intelligent comedic choice. So you're going to learn the 6 triplets necessary to analyze a script and the 8 comedic devices that can be applied to the joke and bring home the funny. We got to bring the funny home. So you've always suspected there's a formula to comedy. Well, there is, and Nick is going to teach you that formula step by step so that you can start making that right comedic choice and book the job and get some money and pay your bills or pay your child support or pay your alimony or buy a pair of shoes. So if you want to check out Nick, go to IMDb and you will learn more about his project. Now, his classes are 4 Sundays starting in January at 1 p.m. So the 4 Sundays are January 9th, January 16th, January 23rd, and January 30th. $225. Again, he has the comedy intensive also on Thursdays, which will be at 7:30, and that's January 13th, January 20th, 27th, and February 3rd. Again, $225. And he does have an advanced scene study. So Again, you have to be approved for that class. But you can find out more about that, again, at the Actors Comedy Workshop. Email them. Info at Actors Creative Workshop. What am I saying? Comedy Workshop. ActorsCreativeWorkshop.com. So if you take those classes, most likely you're going to see me there. So that'll be a lot of fun for everybody. Now, let's get back. Let's get back to why we are here today. And that is to listen to Betty Jo Tucker. Oh, my God. She is going to be we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We don't have a structure today. Usually I write my questions out in advance because I always want to be prepared with asking people certain things. But I decided Betty Jo can roll with it. And she's got so much she wants to talk about. I'm going to just let her talk about whatever she wants to talk about with the main goal, which we discussed last year, of getting her Oscar prediction. So without further ado, is Betty Jo Tucker on the line?
Oh, my gosh, Priscilla. When you were talking about those workshops, I thought, oh, how I would love to be there in Los Angeles and sign up for all of them, for all of the workshops.
Yeah, I know. They're very exciting out here, huh?
I know, and I thought, I'll just have to admit, because you hinted at it a little bit in my introduction, which, by the way, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, but I have to admit, I really think that I'm a frustrated comedian.
I think so, too!
A comedy actor. I think that that's what I, you know, that that's, I'm just kind of sublimating with all this other stuff. So those workshops, and if you're going to be there, you know, my gosh, would we have a ball?
Yes, we would.
We take the same workshops.
That would be if so some young hot guy.
Oh, I just can't. It's a dream. It's a dream.
Well, you
but
and I
Priscilla,
tore that class up, especially with these young boys, because you know you and I'd be going at them. I tell you. Well, you know you have
I don't
to.
Know what-
I got
I don't know about that.
I think you – oh, I know, Betty Jo. That's right. Your husband, he is just all mad over there. You don't want any hot young boys. You got a good man. Forget about it. But what I wanted to say is that I think that you were or you could have been just the one of the best comedic actresses because in your book, my God, Confessions of a Movie Addict, it's just nonstop funny. I mean, I find myself when I'm doing my stretches, I like to read the book when I'm doing the stretches because, you know, I just hate doing them. But you have to do them to keep your muscles slimmer. And I find myself reading it and I laugh my ass off. And my husband says, what are you laughing at? And I said, you got to read this book, Confessions of a Movie Addict by Betty Jo Tucker, because it is so funny. And so,
oh, I am so glad. I'm so glad that you're getting a few laughs out of that, because that's really the main reason that I wrote it. It was just a joy to write. I mean, and everything in it to me seemed funny when I was writing it too. And whenever anybody tells me that they've laughed while they were reading it, I just a big smile comes on my face because I just love to hear that. So thank you, and I hope that some of your listeners will take advantage of that advice and order a copy from Amazon.com. But
let me ask you, for those people who didn't listen to your interview last year or earlier this year, what exactly? Tell us again what your motivation was to write Confessions of a Movie Addict.
Well, I had not intended to, to write any books. I was just happy going to movies and writing about them and talking about them. But something miraculous did happen to me and to my husband. We had been married for 24 years, raised a family, and then we divorced. And we were separated and divorced for almost 20 years. But we accidentally met each other again, and we fell back in love, and we remarried. So everybody wanted to know, how in the world did that happen? Nobody thought that was even possible. So he and I wrote a little you know, we wrote, well, here's the way I think it happened. And he wrote, here's the way I think it happened. And we just put it together in a workshop, the Zoetrope virtual studio workshop. And the publisher saw that and said, oh, it needs to be a book. And so we went through, you know, editing it and making it look a little more professional. And we changed our names to Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence. That's the pseudonyms. But it was very emotional writing that. Very, very emotional. It was funny, but it was emotional. So when we finished the book, the publisher said, would you write another book? And she asked both of us, you know, write another book. And my husband said, no. That's enough.
One is enough. Yeah,
he's the better writer, but he said no. And I said, well, I'll do one for you then, if you want. And the publisher said, yes, do one. And I said, well, it has to be fun. It can't be all this emotional stuff. It's got to be just fun all the way through. And they said, well, okay, what did you have in mind? And I said, well, my funny experiences at the movies and as a film critic. And so they said, okay, do it and send it. And so I sat down and it wrote itself. I mean, it was just such a delight, you know, to relive some of the experiences that I had growing up with the movies, and then the funny kind of things that happened to me sometimes when I would be interviewing stars and going to film festivals. And so put it together, and people loved it. So,
well, I certainly loved it. And if I tell you, you guys got to check this out. And where can they buy that? Is it at Amazon.com?
Yes. Right. BarnesandNobles.com and Amazon.com, and any of the bookstores will order it.
Okay. Or they could go to your website, right? BettyJoTucker.com. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And they'll click on.
Right.
Yeah, and they can click on to the publisher that's also on sale there.
Now,
so,
are you also offering all those little extra perks that you were offering last year when people bought your book? You had like a whole list that you sent me, right?
Oh, yes, that has to do with the Kindle, the expanded Kindle edition of It Had to Be Us, which is the book that my husband and I wrote, the romantic memoir, It Had to Be Us. That expanded Kindle version was given a big launch, and as part of that launch, a lot of different things were given away. And so if you go to my website and go to the book page and look up It Had to Be Us, it'll give you all of the extras that you can get if you order It Had to Be Us from Kindle. Now, by the way, you don't have to have a Kindle. There's a free little process that you can put on your computer. That's what I did. That allows you to receive the book and use your own computer to read the book. So that would be, yes, I'd forgotten all about that. And that book went to number one on Amazon Kindle and was number one for half in the divorce category. And my husband and I said, oh, no, we thought it would be the romance category. But I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's the big thing this year, that the book was picked, another publisher picked up the book and put it on Kindle, and we are now best-selling authors because it was on, you know, number one. So, and that book won a first place in a Hollywood Book Festival in the ebook category, not the expanded version, but when it first came out as a regular ebook. So there's a lot you can find out on my personal website, because there's my film reviews, I have a radio show weekly called Movie Addict Headquarters, and you can find out about that. You can see the descriptions of all the books that I've written, and you can see some of the interviews that I've done. So that, I'm glad you mentioned my personal site, because that would be the place to find out about all the shenanigans that I've been up to.
And you are a little shenanigan contributor, are you not? My God. Well, you...
Yes, but... well, I have to tell you, Priscilla, yes, for all the shenanigans and for the way you said we would just wing it today, you've forgotten that you gave me an assignment.
I did give you an assignment.
Yes, you did.
We want to find a little bit out about you first, because we don't want to, we want to, we, it's a little teaser. I did. I gave you an assignment, and what it was, I told Betty Jo, because we had her on, I believe, in March. Was it this year, Betty? I mean, last
year? Yes, it was.
It was, okay.
I think, the last part of February. Right.
Yeah.
And your listener, there was a listener named Jonathan who got in touch with you, and he said that he wanted to know my 10 best films for 2010.
Yes.
So that was one thing. And then you said, yes, and we want to know what your prediction is for best picture. So you're getting a scoop. Let me tell you, you're getting a scoop tonight.
Wow.
Because I have, yes, you are, because I have not posted my 10 favorite films. I usually don't do it till the end of the year, but just for you and Jonathan.
Yay!
And your listeners, this will be the first time that anyone has heard my 10, and I'm, you know, usually they're posted on my website, and they're posted on many websites after I get them picked, like most critics lists are. But you are getting it first. Nobody has heard. Not even my family has heard.
Wow! Well, you know, they see people. I hope there are some smart people listening to this show who are involved in a poll, because I don't know about you or if you're familiar with this, but a lot of people, pretty much just for fun. I mean, there's no formal Las Vegas betting that I know of, but my family has always had what's called an Oscar prediction pool. So we go to the Oscar website and we get the films that are up for nomination, and then we do bets amongst ourselves to see who gets the most, and we do all categories. I mean, we do sound editing, lights, choreography. I mean, we break it down. So,
and of
course, the one who wins, we won't talk about what they get, but because actually it could be a bookie situation, so we better not talk. But whoever wins gets the prize, whatever that would be. So, people listening to your predictions today, if they bet on that, if you have your own pool that you're going to bet on, you need to listen to Betty, because Betty always gets it right. So why don't we start? Again, everybody who's listening, if you just tune in, we're about to discuss the 2010 Oscar race. Again, it's a bit early, but there are so many awards and nominations from other groups. We don't want to have Oscar feel neglected. Am I right,
exactly,
Betty? All right. So
You're right.
Now, you know what? I got to tell you, Betty, before we start, I think I share with you that my husband and I, we are also movie fanatics. However, this year, I am sad to say, we only went to the movies twice. And I know, because you know what? Well, one, we've been so busy with our projects, our entertainment projects, but because things are so expensive, one,
yes,
and two, we have a package, a cable package, what has every damn program. My husband has to have every show in the world from every country. So we've got that. And then we've got Netflix. And now Netflix is just so advanced that you can watch shows. Everything that you want is on Netflix. And then there's Hulu and all these other things. I'm really surprised, Betty. I want to also get your take, if you could fit it in, on what you predict with all of these new ways to be entertained by movies. Because now we're saying, you know what? Oh, we want to see that. I make a list of movies that we see on the commercials, and then I wait for them to come out, because they are coming out pretty much like a month, 2 months after they've been in the theaters, and then we just get them at Netflix. So I want to find out what your prediction is for the theater going audience who actually like to go out to the theater. So, you know, let's talk about that, because I tell you, we saw Faster, and I thought, oh, I love that show, but God, did we have to spend $40 on a slushie and two popcorns? So
I know. I think that's having a big impact on the theaters, and I believe it's not going to get any better, and that's why the movies are going more to the big spectacles and the 3D, and I think we always have the youngsters, you know, the teenagers and the people who are dating that want to go out to the movies and make
right.
a social night of it. But I think a lot of people are like you and saying, well, we can see it within 3 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, and some of us have got the big screens, you know, and some pretty good sound, and we'll just wait. So I think the attendance at movies is going to be going down, and more emphasis will be on the 3D and the big spectacles and things like going to IMAX to see something like Alice in Wonderland or Avatar, that kind of thing. So I think you're not alone. You're pretty much in the swim of things there.
Well, Betty, it's just gonna pretty soon. It's just gonna be you. You're gonna be the only one in the theater.
Probably.
It'll be just the film critics. They can get in for free. I don't know if you get your food.
Not me.
Well,
no, I pay for my movies because I'm not in an area. If I would go to a screening, I would have to drive up to Colorado Springs or to Denver. And so we just go ahead and pay for our movies. But a lot of studios send me the screeners, and especially this time of year, we've been deluged with screeners. So that was good because that helped me with my assignment. But let's start
from 10 down. Let's go, Betty Jo.
Okay. Yeah, let's do. Now, I'm not this. These are not my favorite movies. I'm just going to tell people the at least 7 out of the 10 picture nominees that will be selected. You know, because this year will be the same as last year. There'll be 10 best picture nominees, and so you're going to have 127 Hours, Black Swan, The Social Network, Winter's Bone, The King's Speech, The Fighter, and Inception. I think those are sure things. Then the other 3 films will come from this list of 6 movies: True Grit, Hereafter, Toy Story 3, Rabbit Hole, The Kids Are All Right, and Alice in Wonderland. So there's that one prediction for you in terms of Best Picture nominations. Now, I think the Best Picture winner will be, and this is no surprise, The Social Network. That doesn't make me happy, but I have to face that particular movie is winning most of the critics' awards, and it's a very timely film, and I think that the fact that Mark Zuckerberg, I don't want to say Zuckerberg, I want to say Zuckerberg, was on the cover of, is going to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year, and 600 million people that are involved in Facebook.
It
is a global phenomenon, and it's changed our way of communicating drastically. So I think probably the Academy will go along with that. So my prediction for the Best Picture winner is The Social Network. Now, my favorite movies, these are in order of preference, and they're a little bit lowbrow, but it's quite a diverse list. And the way I pick my favorites are these movies that I would like to see over and over again. They may not be the best movies of the year, but they are the best in my book. Number 1, The Fighter. Number 2, Secretariat. Number 3, Burlesque. Number 4, Shutter Island. Number 5, Toy Story 3. Number 6, Marwan Call. Now, that one you may not have heard of. It's the best documentary I've ever seen. Number 7, The Other Guys. Number 8, Hereafter. Number 9, Winter's Bone. And number 10, Alice in Wonderland. And there is your scoop, because no one else has heard that list or seen that list. So stop the presses.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I'm kind of proud of this list because it contains, well, actually, there are 2 sports films, and I don't think I've ever had sports films on there, The Fighter and Secretariat. Of course, there's a musical. Well, I'm the world's most avid movie musical fan, so I'm always delighted when I can put a musical on my list, especially one like Burlesque, where they show most of the numbers from beginning to end, you know, without all that cutaway. There's a thriller, that's Shutter Island. There's an animated movie. There's a documentary. There's a comedy, one of the funniest movies I have ever seen, The Other Guys. And there are 2 dramas, Hereafter and Winter's Bone, and a fantasy. So my tastes are diverse. They're a little bit lowbrow. They don't seem to go along with the other, with a lot of the picks from the other critics. But movies are personal. So So there you have it. Now, would you like to ask why any of these movies are on the list, or do you want some predictions in the Oscars in some of the other categories, or?
Well, no, I actually wanted to, you read my mind. I was going to ask you why. Give us at least maybe your top five in order and of your preference, and why you liked them so much.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping that you would ask.
I want to know.
The Fighter. I noticed it didn't make too much this week at weekend at the box office, but this is a great movie. And I can't figure out why I love boxing movies so much. I hate boxing. I never will go to a boxing match. But if you give me a movie like Rocky and Cinderella Man and Million Dollar Baby, I just get into it. But this was even more than a boxing movie.
Well, Betty, let me ask you, when you're doing these movies, just for people who are not familiar with them, if you could say The Fighter starring and maybe the first actors, because people may not identify with the name, but if you say the actor, they'll immediately.
Oh, yes. This two marvelous actors, Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale. And they play two brothers, and they are just great. This, in fact, Sports Illustrated has picked The Fighter as the best sports movie of the decade. And I think on December 20th, that's tomorrow, Sports Illustrated is supposed to come out with a picture of these two guys on the cover, and they call it the most, you know, the best sports movie of the decade.
And also, maybe just one sentence about what it's about. Like, this particular movie is about, it's a look at the early years of the boxer Irish Mickey Ward and his brother, who helped train him before going pro in the mid-1980s. So why don't you, just a little bit, maybe we'll get somebody to go see it, or it'll entice them to rent it.
I hope they do, because there are knockout performances here by both Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale.
Just a little side note, I love Christian Bale. I think he is so – I mean, the first time I saw him, it was in that weird – oh, God, you probably remember it. The American Killer, or Tales of the American Serial Killer or something. Do you remember he did that a lot?
American Psycho.
Thank you. That was the first time I saw him, and I said, wow, he's really intense. And I've liked
him
ever since. So,
you won't even recognize him in this. He plays the older brother who is training Mark Wahlberg, Mickey Ward, but he's a crack addict, and the mother, played by Melissa Leo, is Mickey's manager, and they're taking advantage of Mickey. They set him up on with fights that he can't possibly win because they know he can take beatings. And when Mickey meets a young barmaid played by Amy Adams, and she's great in this, she sees what they're doing, what the family is doing to him, and she tries to get him away from the family. And oh man, this causes chaos. So this is more than a boxing movie. It's about family relations and the way loved ones can hurt the people they care about the most. And it's the best ensemble acting that I've seen all year, maybe that I've seen in a long, long time.
Okay,
and Wahlberg.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I want to make sure we get at least your top three, because it's 5:40 and you know we got 10 minutes. So let's move on to the next one. What's your next favorite, Betty?
And the second one is Secretariat. And this, of course, is the story of the Triple Crown winner back in 1973. And I'm no spring chicken, so I'm one of the millions who thrilled with that horse's wins in the Triple Crown. And Diane Lane, as the owner of that horse, deserves an Oscar nomination. She was just brilliant in this. I don't think she'll get one, but she certainly has my vote. And the cinematography in this movie it's like you're actually on the horse in one race, and then in another you're there in the starting gate as you see the one horse give an evil eye to the other horse.
And,
yeah, and even though I knew how each race would turn out, I couldn't help feeling just intense excitement as the thoroughbreds thundered down the track. And at the end of the movie, at the screening I attended, everybody applauded, and I was one. Wow. I was right there with them applauding. Wow. So Secretariat, definitely
okay.
A crowd pleaser.
Next one.
Number three, as I mentioned, musicals get me every time, and this one was burlesque. I could see this one over and over again. Christina Aguilera.
Mm-hmm.
Just
Cher.
Cher, Christina Aguilera, when she sings, from the very beginning.
You get chills, right? You get chills.
Oh, she's just absolutely brilliant in terms of a performer. There's some question about her acting, but I thought she did a good job. And then Cher, which you haven't seen The Last of Me, and the dances. Oh my gosh, the dances, the sexy, glittery, dazzling, amusing, energetic dances were just wonderful in that. So that's my number three.
And
how are we doing?
And that movie is about a small town girl who ventures to Los Angeles, and she kind of finds her place in a neo. People are going to go, what's a neo burlesque club? Well, you got to see the movie to know what that is. A neo burlesque club run by a former dancer. So
yes,
very excited. And I watched Cher do anything. Cher.
She was good, and it's not like the old time burlesque. So it's good that you mentioned that. It's a lounge, a burlesque lounge.
All right. So
that's
what's next, honey?
Oh, number four, Shutter Island, atmospheric thriller. Oh my gosh, with Leonardo DiCaprio and this gloomy location and absolutely fantastic performances by everyone. Mark Ruffalo, DiCaprio, Ben Kingsley, Marsh Van Sydow, Emily Mortimer. And it's a gothic sort of presentation of a 1950s mental institution. What wonderful cinematography. And Martin Scorsese, I think, just did a beautiful job on Shutter Island. So, again, I'm not sure that will be on other critics list, but it really, really got to me. And then number five, Toy Story 3 is an animation triumph. And Priscilla, although I'm all grown up with children and grandchildren of my own, when I saw this movie, it made me miss the toys I loved as a child. I wondered what happened to my Shirley Temple doll, my stick horse, honey.
I love Toy Story. I love it. Love it. I have not seen Toy Story 3. I'm waiting for it to come out on DVD.
Oh,
but
yes.
So I mean, this one is about how the toys are mistakenly delivered to a daycare center instead of the attic right before Andy leaves for college. So, and it's up to Woody to convince the other toys that they weren't abandoned and return home. So very exciting.
Great.
Andy's all grown up now. But yeah, so it was really good, huh?
Oh, it was really good, and I really can hardly talk about this movie because I do get tears in my eyes. I think that the ending was just so beautifully done, and I usually don't cry in a movie, but in this one I did cry, but I was satisfied. You know, it was a really, really beautiful movie. And there is talk about Toy Story 3 actually being placed as one of the best movies of 2010 in Oscar nominations rather than just in the animated category. And I would go along with that. That's kind of a long shot.
Wow,
but I think
that
it
would
was
be
one
a
of
first,
the best.
Huh? Is that
yeah,
I think
that
that's
would
the
really
first, right? Now, do you think that it was better than the first two? Or?
Yes, it's the best. It is the best Toy Story. It really is. They saved the best for last.
Oh, well, let's not hope
really
it's
did.
Last. We want to see Andy get married. We want to see.
Oh, maybe.
we want to see him get his first job. We want to see him collect his pension. We want to see Andy for the rest of his life. Okay, so what's your next one?
Well, it's Marwin Call, and that's the documentary, and this is about Mark Hogenkamp. He was beaten up. This is a real guy, and he suffered a brutal beating, And he didn't have enough money to, he had brain damage. He didn't have enough money for therapy. So he developed his own therapy. He decided to make a little town in his backyard called Marwinkall. And it's a 1.16 inch scale World War II era town. And he used dolls to represent his family, friends, and even his attackers. And this ends up being his therapy. And when he took pictures of his town, he was pulled into the art world. There were museums who wanted to display his work, and it's just the best use of Barbie dolls and G.I. Joes I've ever seen.
No, I you know what? I am going to apologize. I'm not understanding what the title is. What is the title?
Marwinkall. Marwinkall is the name of the town.
Marwinkall.
Mm-hmm. Marwinkall.
I haven't even heard of it. Oh. So this is so good that you're bringing this up. And you think
absolutely.
It's going to win Best Documentary?
No, I don't think it will, because I think it didn't have a lot of publicity. It didn't show very many places. And I think if anyone sees it, they would vote for it. But the problem is that people are not seeing it. But I believe it will be coming out on DVD, and that might help.
That might help. Well, it did have 13 wins and 2 nominations, so I just looked it up on IMDb. And
yeah.
So that might help somewhat. I don't like the film poster, though. I don't know what that's about.
No. Okay. No, they should have put a picture of two dolls, you know, there for the World War II.
But I'm going to check it out. I mean, if you say that it's good, I'm going to get it for sure. Now let's do the last one. One more.
Okay, the other guys with Mark Wahlberg again and Will Ferrell. I think this is Mark Wahlberg's. This is hilarious. It's so funny, and it's a hilarious banter between two of these two guys who are the policemen, but they're not getting very many assignments. They're the other guys, but it's the banter between Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. It's filled with monumental bickering. Their conversations contain the craziest and most clever dialogue of any 2010 film, and I haven't laughed so much at a movie since I saw Waiting for Guffman. Ferrell and Wahlberg, would you ever think that they could play in a movie together? I never thought so. But Wahlberg is just getting better and better. You should see this. You got to see The Other Guys.
Well,
I mean, you like comedy.
I will see it because The Rock is in it. I love Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. So, and I love Samuel Jackson. So if they're in it, I'm going to go see it. I don't care what it is. So,
well, they're only in it for a couple of minutes, but I'm telling you, they are great and they deserve a prequel. I think they should, they deserve a prequel. It's just an amazing comedy and a very, very surprising one. And both of these guys give terrific performances. So I highly recommend that.
Well, that's going on my Netflix list.
Absolutely. Put it on there. You'll love it.
I have written all of them down. They're going on the Netflix list. And we are going to see it for sure. And, you know, what exactly, we got 1 minute to go. What is exciting coming up for you? What are you doing?
Well, what I'm doing is what I love to do. I am seeing as many movies as I can and writing about them and talking about them. And I'm hoping to also start work on to finish one children's story about the Ruby Slippers, which I when I finish it, I will let you know. And I'm hopefully working with a co-writer. And then I found a manuscript my grandmother had written when I was cleaning out some of these drawers. And I've decided I'm just going to edit it and try to get it published. So it's about a school marm down here in the Southwest. In the early 1900s, late 1890s, early 1900s, and I think it would be really fabulous. And I think I owe it to her since she left it to me, and I've left it too long to do. So those are the two writing projects that I'll be involved in.
Well, guess who's going to be coming back, Betty Jo Tucker?
Yay!
I hope so. About the book, and then you are going to be a our resident film critic Oscar prediction winner every year. Now let's write those movies down, and after we get the after we watch the Oscars, then everybody write in and let Betty Jo know, and then the next time she's on the show, we'll do the emails. We'll read your emails on the air. So listen to Betty Jo Tucker's predictions. Send in your emails, and we're going to have Betty Jo back on the show. I will be sending you an email, people, to let you know. Betty Jo Tucker, Merry, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you for being on the show. And God bless you and your family. Thank everybody for listening. And Betty Jo, why don't you take us out?
Yes. Why don't we enjoy our movies and have a wonderful holiday and a very, very happy New Year.
God bless you, everybody. Bye, Betty Jo Tucker, you little fire.
Thank you, Priscilla. You're the greatest.
You too. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.